130. Jesus at the clear water. You shall not bear false witness. March 14, 1945.
How many people?
Exclaims Matthew. And Peter replies,
Look, there are also some Galileans. Oh, let us go tell the master. They are three honorable bandits.
They are after me, perhaps. They pester me even here.
No, Matthew. A shark will not eat a little fish. It wants a man, a noble prey. And if it cannot really find one, it will gorge a big fish. But you, I, and the others, are tiny little fish, trifles.
Are you referring to the master?
Asks Matthew.
Of course. Can't you see how they are looking in every direction? They are like wild beasts scenting the trail of a gazelle.
I am going to tell him.
Wait. Let us tell Alphaeus' sons. He is too good. A wasted goodness, if swallowed by those mouths.
The two go to the river, and call James and Judas.
Come here. There are some troublesome types, good for the gallows. They have certainly come to annoy the master.
Let us go. Where is he?
He is in the kitchen. Let us be quick, because if he finds out, he will object.
Yes, and he is wrong.
I say that also.
They go back to the threshing floor. The group, described as Galilean, are speaking condescendingly to other people. Judas of Alphaeus goes near them, as if by chance, and he hears.
Words are to be supported by facts.
And they are. Also yesterday he cured a Roman who was possessed.
Horrible. He cured a pagan. What a scandal. Have you heard that, Eli?
All faults are in him. He is friendly with excisemen and prostitutes, and is in touch with the heathens and...
And he endures scandalmongers, which is also a fault, and the gravest, in my eyes. But since he does not know and does not want to defend himself, speak to me about it. I am his brother and I am older than he is, and this is another brother, the oldest. Speak up.
Why are you getting angry? Do you think that we are speaking ill of the Messiah? Oh, we have come from very far because of his fame. We were also telling these people.
Liar. You are so disgusting that I am turning my back on you.
And Judas of Alphaeus, probably because he feels that his love for his enemies is in danger, goes away.
Isn't what we said true? Everybody here can tell.
But not one of the everybody, that is of those to whom the Galileans were speaking, utters a word. They do not wish to lie, and they dare not give them the lie. So they remain silent.
We do not even know what he is like,
says the Galilean, Eli.
You did not insult him in my house, did you?
Asks Matthew ironically.
Or has disease made you lose your memory?
The Galilean covers himself with his mantle, and goes away with the others, without replying.
Coward!
Shouts Peter after him.
They were telling us dreadful things about him,
explains a man.
But we have seen his deeds. On the other hand, we know what they, the Pharisees, are like. Whom should we believe then? The good one, who is really good, or the wicked ones, who say they are good, whereas they are a calamity? I know that since I have been coming here, I have changed so much that I do not recognize myself anymore. I was violent and hard on my wife and children. I had no respect for my neighbors. Instead now, everybody at the village says, Azariah is no longer himself. So, has anyone ever heard that a demon makes people good? For what does he work then? For our holiness. Oh, he is a strange demon indeed if he works for the Lord.
You are right, man. And may God protect you, because you understand, see and work properly. Carry on like that and you will be a true disciple of the blessed Messiah. You will be a joy for him who wants your good and bears everything to lead you to it. Be scandalized only at true evil. But when you see that he works in the name of God, do not be scandalized, and do not believe those who would like to persuade you of scandals, even if you see him doing new things. These are new times. They have come like a flower which has come up after its roots have been working for centuries. Had he not been preceded by centuries of expectation, we could not have understood his word. But centuries of obedience to the law of Sinai have given us the minimum preparation which enables us to inhale all the incense and the new times. a divine flower that the bounty has granted us to see, and thus purify and fortify ourselves and spray ourselves with the scent of holiness like altars. New times have new systems, which are not contrary to the law, but are infused with mercy and charity, because he is the mercy and the love which descended from heaven.
James of Alphaeus waves his hand to the people, and goes towards the house.
You do speak well,
says Peter, amazed.
I never know what to say. I can only say, be good. Love him and believe him. I don't really know how he can be satisfied with me.
And yet he is very satisfied,
replies James of Alphaeus.
Do you really mean that, or are you saying so out of kindness?
'Tis true. Also yesterday, he was telling me.
Was he? In that case, I am happier today than I was on the day they brought me my bride. But where did you learn to speak so well?
On his mother's knees and beside him. What lessons? What words? Only he can speak better than she. But what she lacks in power, she gains in kindness, and penetrates your heart. Oh, her lessons. Have you ever seen a piece of cloth, the corner of which touches a scented oil? It slowly absorbs the scent, but not the oil. And even when the oil is removed, the scent is still there to say, I was there. She is like that. With her wisdom and grace, she imbued us, coarse pieces of cloth which later life washed, and her perfume is within us.
Why does he not make her come? He said he was going to. We would become good. We would not be such blockheads, at least I would not. And also these people. In her presence, they would be good, also those wicked persons who come now, and again.
Do you think so? I don't. We would improve, and also the humble people. But the mighty and the wicked ones. Oh, Simon of Janus. Don't ascribe your honest feelings to other people. You would be disappointed. Here, he is coming. Don't let us say anything.
Jesus comes out of the kitchen holding the hand of a little boy, who toddles along with him, eating a piece of bread seasoned with olive oil. Jesus adapts his stride to the little legs of his friend.
I made a conquest,
he says happily.
This 4-year-old man, whose name is Asriel, told me that he wants to be a disciple, and wants to learn everything. To preach, to cure sick children, to make the vine shoots bear bunches of grapes also in December. And then he wants to climb up a mountain and shout to the whole world, come, the Messiah is here. Is that right, Asriel?
The smiling child replies,
yes,
and continues eating his piece of bread.
You are hardly capable of eating.
Thomas teases him.
You are not even capable of saying who the Messiah is.
He is Jesus of Nazareth.
And what does Messiah mean?
It means the man who was sent to be good and to make us all good.
And what does he do to make us good? And since you are a little rascal, what will you do?
I will love him. And I will do everything. And you will do everything because I love him. If you do that, you will become good also.
And you have had your lesson, Thomas. You have the commandment, love me, and you will do everything, because I will love you, if you love me. And love will work everything in you. The Holy Spirit has spoken. Come, Asriel. Let us go, and preach.
Jesus is so happy, when he is with a child, that I would like to take all the children to him, and make him known to all the children. Instead, there are so many who do not even know him by name. He passes in front of the veiled woman, and before reaching her, he says to the child,
say to that woman, peace be with you.
Why?
Because she is like you, when you fall and hurt yourself. And she is weeping. But if you tell her that, it will pass.
Peace be with you, woman. Don't cry. The Messiah told me, if you love him, he will love you and cure you.
Shouts the child, while Jesus drags him away without stopping. Asriel has the stuff missionaries are made of. Even if for the time being, his sermons are somewhat untimely, and he says more than he was asked to say.
Peace to you all. It is said, you shall not bear false witness. What is more nauseating than a liar? Can we not say that he joins cruelty to impurity? Of course we can. A liar, I am talking of a liar in grave matters, is cruel. He kills a reputation with his tongue. So he does not differ from a murderer. Nay, he is more than a murderer. A murderer kills only the body. A liar kills also a good name, the memory of a man. He is, therefore, twice a murderer. He is an unpunished murderer, because he does not shed blood, but he injures the reputation, both of the person slandered, and of the whole family. And I will not take into consideration the case of the person who brings about the death of his neighbor, by swearing false witness. The coal of Gehenna is already piled upon such a person. I am only talking of those who make false insinuations, by telling lies, and stir up other people against an innocent person. Why do they do that? Either out of hatred, without any reason, or out of greed to get what another man possesses, or out of fear. Hatred. Only a friend of Satan hates. A good person does not hate, never, for no reason whatsoever. Even if he is scorned and damaged, he forgives. He never hates. Hatred is the witness that a lost soul bears of itself and is the best witness in favor of an innocent man. Because hatred is the revolt of evil against good. Who is good, does not need to be forgiven. Greed. He has what I do not. I want what he has. But only by vilifying him, I can obtain his position. And I am going to do it. Will I be lying? What does it matter? Will I be stealing? What does it matter? Will I ruin a whole family? What does it matter? Of many questions that the shrewd liar asks himself, he forgets, he wants to forget one question. This one, and, if I should be found out? He does not ask himself such a question, because being a prey to pride and greed, he is like one whose eyes are closed. He does not see danger. He is also like a drunk man. He is intoxicated with the satanic wine, and does not consider that God is stronger than Satan, and take vengeance of the slandered man. The liar has given himself to falsehood, and foolishly relies on its protection. Fear. Many a time man slanders to excuse himself. It is the most common form of falsehood. Evil has been done. We are afraid it might be found out as our deed. Then, using and abusing the esteem in which we are still held by other people, we upset the situation, and we saddle someone else, of whose honesty only we are afraid, with the evil deed we accomplished. We also do it, because at times, our neighbor has been the unintentional witness of our evil action, and we want to be secure from his eventual witness. So we accuse him to make him unpopular, and thus, if he should speak, no one would believe him. Behave properly, and you will never need such falsehood. Do you not consider, when you lie, what a heavy burden you take upon yourselves? It is made of subjection to the evil spirit, of perpetual fear, of being found out, and the necessity of remembering the lie, also after years, in all the circumstances, and the details in which it was told, without contradicting oneself. The labor of a galley slave. If it only helped to gain heaven. Instead it serves only to prepare a place in hell. Be frank. How lovely are the lips of a man who does not know falsehood. He may be poor, coarse and unknown. He is he. But he is still a king. Because he is sincere. And sincerity is more regal than gold and diadems, and elevates one above the crowds more than a throne, and procures a greater court of good people than a monarch has. Intimacy with a sincere man gives safety and comfort. Whereas friendship with an insincere person, or even to be near such a person, causes a feeling of uneasiness. Since the truth soon comes to light in a thousand ways, why does he, who lies, not consider that afterwards, he will always be suspected? How can one believe what he says? Even if he speaks the truth, and who hears him wants to believe him? There is always doubt, is he lying also now? You may ask, where is the false witness? Every lie is a false witness. Not only legal ones. Be simple, like God and a child. Be truthful every moment of your lives. Do you want to be considered good? Be truly so. Even if a scandalmonger should wish to speak evil of you, 100 good people will say, no, it is not true. He is good. His deeds speak of him. In one of the books of wisdom it is said, a scoundrel, a vicious man, he goes with a grin on his lips. Deceit in his heart, always scheming evil, he sows dissension. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that his soul abhors: a haughty look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that weaves wicked plots, feet that hurry to do evil, a false witness who lies with every breath, a man who sows dissension among brothers, His own lips are to blame when the wicked man is entrapped. A false witness is nothing but deceit. Lips that tell the truth abide firm forever, the tongue that lies last only for a moment. The words of a backbiter sound simple, but they pierce man's heart. The enemy brooding over treason is known by his speech. Do not trust him when he whispers, because he carries seven evils in his heart. He deceitfully conceals his hatred, but his wickedness will be disclosed. The man who digs a pit falls into it, the stone comes back on him that rolls it. The sin of falsehood is as old as the world, and the thought of the wise man concerning it is unchanged. Unchanged is also the judgment of God on those who lie. I say, have only one language. May yes be always yes, and your no be always no. Also before mighty ones and tyrants. And you will receive great reward in heaven for it. I say to you, be spontaneous like a child who by instinct goes towards him who he perceives to be good without seeking anything but goodness. And he says what his own goodness makes him think, without considering whether he says too much, and whether he may be reproached for it. Go in peace. And may the truth become your friend.
Little Azrael, who has been sitting all the time at Jesus' feet, looking up at him like a bird that listens to the song of its father, makes a loving gesture. He rubs his little face against Jesus' knees, and says to him,
You and I are friends because you are good and I love you. Now I will say that also.
And forcing his voice to make himself heard from one end to the other of the large room, gesticulating as he saw Jesus doing, he says,
Listen everybody, I know where the people go who do not tell lies and love Jesus of Nazareth. They climb up Jacob's ladder, up, 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 together with the angels, and they stop when they find the Lord.
And he smiles happily, displaying his little teeth. Jesus caresses him, and goes among the crowd. He takes the little one back to his mother and says,
Thank you, woman, for giving me your child.
He has bothered you.
No, he has given me love. He is a little one of the Lord, and may the Lord be always with him and with you. Goodbye.
To all ends thus.